How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, he is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled?
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've joined us for the broadcast again this week. We're going to pick up our study here in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 here. And we're just going to go ahead and start at the beginning of the chapter and then come on down here to verse number 6, where we're going to pick up this time. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So he says there, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, this is very, very important. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus has come to the Lord and saying, Who are you and what are you doing? We know that God's got to be with you. These miracles that you've worked are so prolific. They're greater miracles in number and what he's done, and seemingly with ease and an ability. He's worked more miracles than all the prophets that they have account of in the Old Testament scriptures. And so he says, Who are you and what are you doing? Why are you here? Now, the Lord, rather than answering Nicodemus's question, he's going to answer his question, but he's going to deal with Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, verse 4, saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus is thinking naturally, as is our case, and that's just normal for us to think naturally rather than spiritually. Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So here the Lord begins to help Nicodemus out. He says, you've got to be born physically, Nicodemus. That's that water birth. And that second birth is of the Spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So to be born again is to be born the first time. That's how we get here, right? Born of our mothers, that water birth. And then born of the Spirit, that's the second birth, that's to be born again. Without that second birth, there's no seeing the kingdom of God, there's no entering into the kingdom of God, as it says in verse number 5. The Lord goes on to clarify this and make it plain to us and just confirm what he's already told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's that water birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the spiritual birth. That's the second birth. That's salvation. Marvel not, verse 7, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, don't marvel at that. Don't sit there with your jaw dropped open that I'm telling you that you've got to be born again. You've got to be born of the Spirit to be able to see and to enter into the kingdom of God. He goes on here to tell us something that we that have been saved by the Lord, that have been placed in his New Testament Baptist churches, we that have been called of the Lord to preach and to pastor his churches and to preach the glorious gospel and word of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that's essential for us to know and to understand. It should never make us lazy. It should never make us lax. It should never cause us to back off on our privilege to preach the gospel to sinners near and far, to preach that gospel as the Lord's given in his commission to every creature, to preach it, to teach men about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is essential that we understand where salvation comes from, and that we not bury the weight of trying to save people's souls. I can't save a sinner's soul. You can't save a sinner's soul. And don't ever let anybody tell you that they can save you, or that they can even tell you that you're saved. Because it's going to be evidenced here, this is a spiritual affair. It's between the individual and God. We preach the gospel. We preach Jesus Christ crucified and buried and risen again, raised from the dead, and coming soon. We preach that. We preach that salvation. We preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners, and that they might have forgiveness of their sins, that they might have everlasting life, that they might be born again. But it is the Spirit of God that moves and that saves. Anybody that's saved by the Lord doesn't have to be told that they're saved. And anybody that has the Spirit of God move upon them doesn't need to be prepped or prompted or told what account to give or what to say about their salvation. They know it from God. Verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth." Okay, so we understand about the wind. Do you see the wind? No. You and I, we don't see the wind. We see leaves moving and trash blowing around, and we see dust. We see limbs on trees going back and forth, and if the wind really gets bad, we can see barn metal coming off of barns and gutters coming off of houses and vinyl siding coming off of houses, right? We can see the effects of the wind, but we don't see the wind. You can't see the wind. "The wind bloweth where it listeth." Where it is, that's where it blows. Where you hear it whistling, where you hear it moving. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof." You hear that wind whistling through the trees. You hear that wind whistling when that storm's picking up. You hear it whistling around your house, maybe, or over the roof. If you're out in the garage or out in the barn, or will you hear it whistling through the cracks of a building, maybe, or between those slats of that old barn. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth." You don't know, you and I don't know when the wind's blowing out of the north, and we don't know when it's blowing out of the south until we feel it or we see the effects of it. We can't see the wind. We can hear the wind, okay, and it blowing around and on stuff and blowing stuff around, but we can't see the wind itself. But we see the effects of the wind, don't we? Here's what he says. "So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Let's read it again. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." That's the way that it is. The Spirit of God moves. He moves where he wants to move. And the Lord's given a promise that the preaching of his word, he will take that word and make it effectual in the hearts of sinners and reveal to them their condition and their need of Jesus Christ. He'll show them their sin. He'll show them Jesus Christ, precious to the salvation of their souls. And he'll work in them into repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, just like you see the wind, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God moves upon sinners. And that's what sinners need. And God has provided that the preaching of his word, the preaching of the Bible, the scripture, his gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's thereby that sinners are convicted, shown their great need, and come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second birth is a spiritual affair. It's a spiritual affair, and it's worked by God. Nicodemus answered in verse 9 and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Is it not like the Gospels tell us about when the rich young ruler, as we refer to him, came to the Lord and said, "I've kept the law, but what can I do to inherit eternal life?" The Lord said, "Keep the commandments." And the ruler said, "I've done that. I've done that all my life." And so, okay. Well, you lack one thing. Go sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come, take up your cross, and follow me. What the young man lacked, what the ruler lacked, was the Lord Jesus Christ. He had religion, he had wealth, he had prosperity, he maybe had some fame and notoriety, but he didn't have the Lord. He didn't have the Lord. And he goes on there and tells us in that account, it says that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God because he hangs on real tight to what he owns. It's very, very important to him. A rich man is always going to be taking the opinion that somebody's going to be looking to take his stuff, and he's going to be very guarded about it. Sometimes a wealthy man can take, and we're not talking about extravagant wealth, we're just talking about even the prosperity that the Lord has blessed folks within our country. When we have much, we become very independent. We become, in our hearts and minds, very self-sufficient. And the Lord said about that ruler that came to him, and what the Lord told him to do, sell what you've got, come follow me. You lack one thing, and that one thing was not a thing, but a person. He lacked the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that it's hard for rich men to enter into the kingdom of God because they're so prone to hang on to their wealth and trust in it, trust in uncertain riches, as the scripture says. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And I believe what's manifested there is a needle you sew with. A sewing needle, it's easier for a camel to go through a sewing needle than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples, if you'll remember in that account of the scripture, say, then how can anybody be saved? How can any man be saved if it's that way? Some of the disciples, I believe, were moderately comfortable men. They had businesses. They had positions of authority, some of them, that scripture indicates to us. They had money. They maybe weren't the wealthiest in the land, but they didn't seem to be paupers, some of them. And so they considered their own situation, I believe, and they said, well, how can it be? How can any man be saved? How is it possible? What's the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ? With men, salvation is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That's the answer he gave them. He said it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle, or a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The disciples respond, how can anyone be saved? And the Lord Jesus Christ says, with men it's impossible, fellas, but with God all things are possible. And so here Nicodemus gives the answer, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, a rebuke to him. And the thing is the Lord does rebuke us. And that's the whole thing about telling us about our need as sinners and that we're guilty before God. We've transgressed against God. We are guilty, wicked sinners before God. Think about the transgression that plunged us into sin and depravity and that which man naturally finds himself in. And our children, all the children that Adam has had, from his day till now, we're all the children of Adam, and all of us are sinners. When we hit the air, we come forth speaking lies, the scripture says, and we're sinners guilty before God. And the thing is, Nicodemus didn't understand that. And the Lord says to him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Are you a ruler and teacher and leader in Israel? And you don't understand these things, Nicodemus? He's going to go on and talk to him about his understanding or his lack of understanding. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ continues to deal with Nicodemus and his need. We'll pick up on that more and see more of that as we come next time. Well, I see our time's passed. Farewell until next time, and may the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles, and you will find our church house on the right. just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.